Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay? 'Cause we're watching Buffy. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Joe Sterling, here with my co-host, who really loved my intro, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing really well. You know, it was a surprise, just like how it was a surprise for Buffy that she moves into a normal town. It seems totally fine and every day, but guess what? It's the mouth of hell. Yes. And that is a surprise, just like your intro, because you didn't tell me about it.
I wanted it to be a surprise. For those of you who were with us through our Dawson's Creek journey, we had a cute little intro there. I'm testing out some stuff for Buffy, you know? I feel like we need something again, because it always got me so excited to start the podcast. So we need something.
I know. The issue is that this does not rhyme. You said
Buffy has an E noise at the end.
Okay, are you ready to slay? Welcome back to Buffy.
No, that's not what I said.
What did you say?
I rhymed Buffy with Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, even though it doesn't rhyme. It's like a sideways rhyme. Help me rhyme then. What should I say then?
Girl, I am not a literary. I am no Willow here. I know nothing.
Let's open it up to the listeners. If anybody has suggestions for an opening to the podcast, please let us know. But welcome to anyone joining us for the first time. I'm Jess, that's Sarah. We cover 90s content. If you're wondering what's up with the title of your podcast, well, we like to talk about what the 90s taught us. And we're going to see what a vampire slayer is about to teach us. Because welcome to my mouth.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's how to slay a vampire, because I feel like that's critical information to know.
Yeah.
If you haven't followed along, we have covered Boy Meets World. That's where we started. Dawson's Creek.
Yep.
Freaks and Geeks.
Yes.
And we are currently on the process of learning what Felicity taught us, but she isn't teaching us much.
Felicity only teaches us bad things.
Yeah, she's like the bad kid in school.
Do the opposite of what Felicity does.
I think that's what we're learning. Pretty much a good lesson to learn. Yeah. But
I will say Buffy already feels like she has a better head on her shoulders than Felicity does, and she's still in high school. So
she's only 16 years old and she has the world on her shoulders, it seems.
She's very sassy, which I don't know that I was necessarily expecting. For those who didn't listen to our like little kickoff podcast, Sarah and I are Buffy the Vampire Slayer newbies. We don't really know a ton about the show. So I gotta say, a lot of surprising things in this episode for me, one of which was how sassy and like confident Buffy was immediately.
I think that Buffy has the confidence of a 16-year-old girl that that I feel like so many of us had was just like blind confidence. Like, I think that the expression is like, I knew so much more at 18 than I did at like 25 or something like that. Something along those lines. Like, she has blind confidence, and I actually am foreseeing her to lose some of that confidence along the way, because we meet her,
self-doubt will like creep in.
Self-doubt always creeps in, but this version of Buffy that we meet at the pilot is confident, and she can speak for herself. And it's also almost like wherever she came from in LA, shit was easy for her, except for staying in school. She got kicked out of school, but
well, she set the gym on fire, I guess. So whoops. Like, fair enough,
just a normal Tuesday. But it seems as though Buffy really got easy bitch ass vampires back in LA.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If I was a teenager and someone was like, you are the chosen one, you are the slayer, I'd be like, fuck yeah, bitch. Like, yeah I am. You're goddamn right I am.
Exactly.
I would probably have a little bit of that confidence as well. Specifically, I found it interesting that Buffy is a new person in Sunnydale High. Like, she's brand new to town. And she already is like, oh, you're the popular bitch or Cordelia. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to go hang out with seemingly the loser of the school, Willow. So
I really liked that too, actually. I think that's really interesting for, I mean, we meet Buffy and she is interested in clothes and makeup and hair. And seemingly you would think that she would be attracted to a Cordelia and want to be popular, because that's what she says that she wanted. But when push comes to shove, she was vibing more towards Willow because she has zero interest in being mean. And I just want to say, first and foremost, before we get into it, I am so excited to potentially cross my fingers, really love a main character.
Yes. It's been a hot minute, right?
It's been a minute. Like, I used to think, going back to Boy Meets World, I was always like, oh, Corey is my favorite. Like, Corey was always my favorite. But watching it over as an adult, I'm like, fuck you, Corey. You
suck.
Well,
by like later on in the series, he certainly gets like worse and worse and worse. And like, Dawson's Creek has a little bit of that as well, with Dawson not always being the best character to root for. So I totally agree with you. First of all, I will say, like, fully going to just say it right now, I thought the pilot was absolutely fantastic. Like, it was very gripping. It was interesting. They set up a lot of like lore in the beginning, because obviously this is a like sci-fi fantasy type of show, but it's also a teen drama. So just in case anybody out there is like completely new to us as a duo, I gotta be honest and say, like, we don't take things like too seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously all the time. So if we poke fun at your favorites, totally apologize for that. We don't know they're your favorites. But we're not exactly, I mean, I would say I'm more well-versed in like the fantasy sci-fi than you are, Sarah. Like, I'm generally in life more intrigued by that, but I'm certainly not the most well-versed on it. That being said, you have like the Twilight vampire stuff in your back pocket that you could whip out, right? Like, you know, at least that sort of vampire, which is seemingly very different than the Buffy vampire.
Yeah. I used to give out my Twilight books. Like, it was like coveted reading, like the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, I was lending out those books when I was a senior in high school / a freshman in college, like it was forbidden
gospel
reading.
For you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I wouldn't say that they were like the best books ever, but they were definitely of the times. I graduated high school in 2007, and that was like the moment for Twilight. And then you and I have covered Interview with a Vampire. So if you want to hear more vampire coverage, we touched on that. But in terms of, like, I never watched, like, what, True Blood? Is that Suki?
HBO. Mm-hmm. That was Suki. Yeah, I watched that until it got fairies. So maybe season three or four.
You watched until there was
fairies? It lost its mind, Sarah. You don't understand.
I love fairies.
Yes, but the show fully lost its mind. It is still, there are still entertaining aspects. I did a little bit of a True Blood rewatch. I only got up to like season two when I was like really bored one day. But But yeah, we don't have a ton, at least on this podcast, we don't have a ton of history with this sort of like sci-fi fantasy show. So I'm really excited to like be able to make some predictions about the show and kind of like track. I know it's a little bit of a monster of the week style of show, at least in the beginning. I'm interested to see if that changes. You just made a face. Do you know what a monster of the week show is?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay. So like there are certain types of shows, kind of more like a procedural, I would say. So like a lot of cop shows follow this model. Smallville followed this model for a while. It basically is like every single week there's going to be a villain that our hero, in this case be Buffy, will have to like defeat, overcome. Usually that also kind of encompasses like a season long storyline. But every single week there's like a monster that our hero is attempting to vanquish in whatever way. So okay. In a cop show, it's like, oh, we're going after a person who's broken the law. So that's kind of the style of this show, to my knowledge. I don't know if it changes as we go on, but we start off the show. The whole show starts off with like this prophecy, which I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We need to back up, because that was like a heavy lore drop at the very start of this show, where they say in every generation, in every generation, there is a chosen one. She alone will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. She is the Slayer. And it's Buffy.
Wow. Such a big burden to bear for a 16-year-old girl, to be honest with you. When I was 16, the only thing I wanted to do was make out with boys at the back of the Stop and Shop. This girl has a lot to do, and it seems as though it started before she was even 16 years old. To be the chosen one seems like a big responsibility that I don't think that I would take on. If somebody came up to me and was like, you're the chosen one, I'd be like, thanks, but no thanks.
I'm a little busy at the moment. I think the interesting thing is, it seems like, and I will say neither of us has watched the Buffy the Vampire Slayer film. I believe, based on a small conversation I have with a friend, Todd, that it seems like this is like a continuation of that story.
Oh, so we missed the whole thing. We missed the origin story.
Because I thought it was interesting that like the first episode of the show isn't an origin story. We don't find out how she became the Slayer. We don't find out like who exactly knows beyond. It seems like her mom has no idea. It doesn't seem like she has any friends that know, which to me, Sarah, is like, how are you keeping the secret all to yourself? Like, this is such a heavy secret to have.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful that her new friends, Xander and Willow, can help her out with that, because it seems like the secret's not getting kept in Sunnydale. But yeah, it is like a really hard thing to bear. And yeah. I don't know. I guess it's none of our business how Buffy became the Slayer, but she is. So that's that.
Yes. And so we like start off the episode at Sunnydale High with like this couple. They're breaking in to the school. And at first you're kind of like, okay, because the guy is the one. Well, first of all, it's the guy. So you're kind of like, he must be the vampire, right? Like,
yeah,
he's the one breaking in. He's the one who seemingly wants to be alone with this girl who, by the way, I recognized as Rita from Dexter. Do you know this woman from anything, Sarah?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, because I felt
Rita from Dexter.
I think it pinged. I'm also watching this with my husband, Will. He's never seen Buffy for the first time. And I think it pinged in his brain a little bit, because she was recognizable. Like, oh, maybe it's a twist and she's actually the vampire.
Wow. So wow. That's right. Kind of cool that she was a recognizable actor and that's how you guess that twist. I do think that for me, it was a surprise to see Darla, which was her name, wind up being the vampire. I did of course, at first I thought it was the guy, but I really
he's the guy, right? And you're like, oh, vampires are guys, or
He's like, let's go on the top of the roof, and she's
let's be alone together.
She's like, I don't know, we're just gonna get in trouble. Like, she's the one that seems like she doesn't want to do this. But she is a very well-trained actress, this Darla, and she gets him. And we see our first vampire makeup. And
yeah, this is like totally a surprise for me. I don't know if you were aware of this at all, Sarah, going in, but like when they get into their vampire mode, instead of like their human disguise or whatever, instead of being the like glittery, sexy vampires from Twilight, it's like monster face and horrifying teeth.
Yeah, they're scary, scary and ugly. I do like the ability that they can be hot, but they don't have to be. And it seems as though they don't have to be in the scary form in order to bite, because we see Darla later with somebody and was like, I think you gave me a hickey. So like, they don't have to be.
Well, we don't, I guess we don't know for sure, because we didn't, did we see her bite him? No,
no, but I really don't know, but it seems as though they have some sort of, besides being vampires, they have some sort of illusionary magic that makes them able to transform their image to lure people in order for them to feed. And right. it's interesting because, yeah, like, I'm used to like hot vampires. These are not hot vampires. They can look like hot mortals, but they're not good looking. And it's, I mean, the makeup is very prosthetic 90s.
We're in the 90s. We're in 97. Like, it's very heavy on the prosthetics of, like, yeah. Basically, her entire forehead and cheeks are like covered in prosthetics, and she has these like really jagged, scary teeth, not like the razor sharp fangs that we're kind of more used to from our vampire stuff we've watched.
It kind of reminds me of Power Ranger makeup. Whenever there was like villains in the Power Rangers when I was a kid.
Okay, I know what you mean. I was like, the Power Rangers wear helmets. What are you talking
about?
It reminds me of, and I'm going to apologize already because I don't know a ton about Star Trek, but I know there's a character from Star Trek who looks like this, who has stuff all over his face like this.
I think his name is like, not Rolf.
Star Trek characters.
It starts with a W. I know exactly who you're talking about. And you're
right.
It does look like Star Trek makeup. You're right. He was look up at the Deep Space Nine. He was one of the main guys in Deep Space Nine, and he dated the girl with the freckles on her face.
Oh, Worf. You were right. W.
Holy crap. Look at
you go. Your dad was a Trekkie, right? I think
my dad, yeah. So my dad was like a huge Trekkie, and I had action figures when I was a kid Star Trek figures before I even had Barbies. Yeah. So that was a deep pull for myself.
Give yourself a pat.
You said that I wasn't a sci-fi fan.
But you're not usually.
No, no.
But yeah, so then she obviously bites him. And then we get our theme song. And I got to say, the theme song, first of all, very nice. It's like very like action-packed, right? Like it's like very like rock and roll action-packed.
Yeah, we got the electric guitar going.
Yeah.
I mean, we can sing it, but maybe we should spare you for now. But I can't promise you that we won't be singing it at one point.
No promises. But I will say, like, on the pantheon of theme songs, definitely ranks higher than Felicity for me.
That is very, very true. But also anybody and anything could beat out that Singlish.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to be better than Felicity. So yeah, pretty good theme song. I mean, I'll probably have a more of an opinion on it the more I watch it, right?
Yeah,
I
feel like it's early days. We see clips of Buffy fighting and
seemingly clips of what's to come, probably
things happening, monsters, a lot of which like we have not seen yet in the pilot. And it's kind of like, I don't know what's going on here, but at one point Buffy's going to be a cheerleader, and that's exciting to me. And I don't know, there was a green dude, there was a lot of sights to see. A little spoilery, but the only thing is that I can't even have context or understanding what he's trying to spoil, so I don't really care.
And this is like typical of like a 90s show, though, to have like a little like clips from the season in the theme song.
Yeah.
So we open up on Buffy having this like nightmare, seemingly, and it's kind of like a prophecy nightmare. It seems like she's having like visions of like a cross and like a graveyard, and it seems kind of like gross. There's like a big pool of blood, like stuff that we are gonna see later in the episode. This feels very prophecy-ish.
These are like my dreams.
These are like your dreams.
These are like my dreams. Yeah. I swear to goodness, there has been more than one occasion where I have dreams that have come true in the future. And like I
have really... you ever dreamt about a big pool of blood?
No, thank goodness. Good. It's mostly good. Like when friends get chlamydia or like get pregnant.
I mean, it's not bad information.
Like, I'm like a gynecologist philosopher.
Yeah, it's only in matters of the vagina.
It seems to be so. But I do have a uncanny success rate. By the way, Buffy's bed looks divine.
Okay, I'm so happy you brought this up because I had the same. I don't know if it's the fluffiness of it. It feels like it's the, first of all, it's the room she has. She has plenty of room. It's at least a full size bed.
She has a king size bed.
It's huge.
She's living the good life. I don't know if it's because she's a small human, but I am dying for that bed.
Yeah. Big, big fluffy pillows and duvets, like heavenly, certainly heavenly.
Yeah, I would have the deepest, darkest dreams in this bed. Mm-hmm. And I would welcome it. Like if every night I dreamt of like demonic candles, it's okay as long as I can sleep in that bed.
Yeah, but unfortunately, there's not a great amount of feng shui happening in her room because like she just moved. So she has a bunch of moving boxes everywhere. And she's starting her first day at Sunnydale High. And her mom is like, listen, just don't get kicked out on your first day. Okay. And I'm like, what did she do? What did she do where she's getting kicked out?
Yeah, I assumed it had something to do with the vampires, but that does stink that she has this reputation of just being a bad girl and she has to promise her mom that she's not going to get kicked out of this school. Yeah. They had to move away because of this incident. So it is a bit of a mystery at this time. Like, what did she do?
Yeah. And we only know that she set fire to a gymnasium. Like, that's as much detail as we're going to get in this episode, but certainly it has to do with vampires. Can we talk a little bit about the fashion on this show? We need to talk about Buffy's first outfit.
Oh, yes.
It feels very of the times where she has like, you know, a little bit of a dirty blonde haircut, kind of shoulder length with waves and a little bit of layers in there. She has a wispy bang, which who mm-hmm. didn't in the 90s? And of course, a meaningless clip on the side that does nothing, but it's there for style.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up any hair. I really like her makeup. It's very 90s with a nude lip and like heavy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. I do like her outfit. It's just like a little baby white tee, and I think that she's wearing a skirt. It's very like hit me baby one more time.
It's the mini thing. Skirt is definitely giving hit me baby one more time.
Yeah, which I really really liked, and I thought that she looked like so pretty. Like she's such Sarah Michelle Gellar is just such the it girl, and I can definitely see, I don't know, like girls wanting to be her, guys wanting to be with her, maybe some girls wanting to be with her too. Like she's that cool, and she is just once again like that 90s teen like Tiger Beat J14
yes
it girl, which
she's giving
I love.
Me Rachel from Friends in the 90s vibes, like fashion queen icon. Girls want to be here, boys want to be with her, you know, girls want to be with her, like everyone wants to be with her or be her. Very big vibes of that. And then we meet our like surrounding cast, our other main cast of characters. Xander like crashes his skateboard
because she's so beautiful that he loses his attention and just crashes his skateboard into the thing. And then we meet Willow, played by Allison Hannigan.
Yes.
And
Willow is like basically the exact character from American Pie who went to band camp.
Well, I think that is just her specialty at this point. Like I believe that this probably had to have come first. Maybe not.
Oh, sure. This was definitely before American Pie. American Pie was like 99 or something. Okay, Let me look it up.
A few years before, because this is 97. But she definitely has that like geeky, nerdy aesthetic. And normally that
she's
is
even
not
wearing plaid.
She is. Well, her mom bought her that dress, Jessica.
Yeah. It's very and she's wearing like a plaid dress with like a plaid button down under or a white button down underneath and white tights. It's like the epitome of like, I'm a little schoolgirl. I'm so innocent.
Yeah. Normally this character archetype I would call a dweeb and want to punch, but I really like Willow because I think that she's, I don't think that she's like as naive as she portrays. So I think that she's interesting. Really interesting for me. So she has this interaction with Xander and their other friend, which I don't know if I caught his name.
Oh, his name is Jesse.
Jesse.
So we, and yeah, our little friend group is Willow, Jesse, and Xander. Jesse, I recognized as someone from 6 Feet Under, another 90s classic show, earlier in the 90s.
And who's Xander? Is he played by anybody notable?
I mean, he looks vaguely familiar. Our friend Todd pointed out he's in like Private Practice. So like maybe that's where I recognized him from. Sure, but I certainly don't say that again.
What is his human name?
What is his given name?
What is his given name?
Let me look it up. Where is it?
Well,
who is he played by?
We're trying to not spoil ourselves.
No, I don't want to be spoiled. So, yeah,
you
know what?
Just let it go. Just let it go. Just
he's there.
It.
He's there too. And they're like a little friend group. They're all like, who's the new girl? We need to know. We need to know everything about her. But they certainly don't seem like the most popular kids in this school.
No, but like, it's interesting because it's like Xander is kind of hot, but he's like one of the, I guess skater kids are not. We learned this from Clueless. Skater kids are not the cool kids.
Generally, well, I guess it depends on when you're saying, you know what I mean? Like what year is the skater kid a cool kid?
1997, but the skater kids are not the cool
kids. I mean, apparently in freaking Sunnydale High, the kids who wear lime green pants are the cool kids.
Yeah, because they have style.
Ugh. So Buffy meets with like the what's it called? I almost said the president. Yeah, the principal.
Girl. She meets with the principal and she's basically saying, you know, I don't want my past record to color my experience here negatively. Mm-hmm. And the principal is like, fresh start.
And he rips up the paper when he says this.
But then he tapes it back up.
I think he read that, which that she lit a gymnasium on fire, he was like, maybe not so much a clean slate. Like, please don't light our gym on fire.
It costs a lot of money and we don't get a lot of funding.
Yeah, certainly. And like, oh, also, I don't think we mentioned it, but it seems like the show takes place in like, it's definitely in California. And she talks about living near LA. So definitely in that part of California, very much Silicon Valley vibes, you know, like push push.
Sure. Well, she used to live in LA and she moved away, and away enough that Cordelia finds her living in LA cool because she gets swept up pretty soon by Cordelia, who's a popular
also
girl.
The name Cordelia. Is this from something? Like, am I missing something? Because that name is unhinged.
What do you mean? It's just a name. Cordelia.
Cordelia. Because it sounds like mythical or something.
Jess, with all due respect, the girl's human name is... the girl's human name is Charisma.
Oh, right. That's the actress's name. Yes. Which is also insane. And this is where my brain goes, where I was like, if I named Charisma, what nickname am I giving myself so that people do not call me it? And I think Riz. I landed on Chrissy. Riz.
Not Riz. Yeah, Chrissy. Oh, also, Buffy bumps into Xander and she just like dumps out all of her stuff.
It was so obvious. She literally dumps out her entire bag, and they have an interaction. Again, he is like very much like, oh my God, she's so gorgeous. I can't even speak around her. And the first thing he says is, can I have you, instead of can I help you? And I was like, who are you, Casper the ghost? No, stop it. Stop it right now.
What a
creep. Cannot have her.
Yeah, but she is also a creep because she leaves her steak on the ground.
He's huge. I just don't understand. Like, if a tiny splinter will kill a vampire, why must the steak be massive? Why can't you have almost like a wooden switchblade? You know, why do you need that big of a steak?
Is that what they say? A splinter could kill a vampire? I don't think that's true.
To be fair, I don't know for sure, but like, I don't think it needs to be the size of
it's
like.
It's supposed to be a stake through the heart. That's the thing.
Okay. But why? Literally, this thing is bigger than like my forearm.
Because it has to reach the heart. A splinter won't reach the heart.
It doesn't
even
look sharp.
Look, it's sharp as hell.
Yeah. But,
so now we're in class. She does not have any books and she has to borrow a book with Cordelia. And like mm-hmm. I said, Cordelia kind of sweeps her in because Buffy is also a hot and hot.
And she like recognizes. Yeah, yeah. She recognizes the fellow hot and she's like, I'll show you around. You can be in with me. She like quizzes her first. She's like, I got to make sure that you have the cool genetics.
Do you want to answer cool these girl questions?
Okay. So read them out to me. What do
okay
we got?
Number one is nail polish. Is vampy nail polish in or out?
I like vampy nail polish. I'll say in.
Well, apparently it's out. It's over.
Whoops. Oh,
yeah,
well.
That's embarrassing. It's so over. James Spader.
I'm Googling him. The name sounds familiar, but I can't picture him. Let me look him up.
Do you think that James Spader is a hottie?
No, absolutely not.
Well, apparently Buffy says he needs to call me.
I mean, in 2023, I don't think I would want James Spader calling me. Maybe let me look at in the 90s. What did he look like in the 90s? Oh, I guess he was like fairly attractive, I guess, in the 90s.
Okay. Frappuccinos.
Okay. I mean, a Frappuccino has its time and place.
Buffy says trendy, but tasty.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I'm with Buffy on that.
John Tesh.
I don't know who that is.
Google that.
Don Tesh. He's a pianist and composer?
Sure. Apparently he's the devil.
He's the devil? What did he do?
Don't know. But okay, apparently that was pretty much a gimme.
Yeah. I should have known that one, obviously.
Yeah. I would say Buffy passed with flying colors the cool test. You failed.
I totally failed. This is not surprising to anybody.
Yeah, I like the cool test because it's a way to weed out the losers.
Yeah, of which Willow is apparently a part of, as Cordelia says, it's good to know you've seen the softer side of Sears.
Way harsh, Ty.
It was so awful.
Yeah, she says her mom picked it out. And Cordelia is like, no wonder you're such a guy magnet. Are you done? Because she's drinking from the water fountain. And then poor Willow just like trots off in agony. And Cordelia says, you know, the sooner you figure out who the losers are in the school, then you can, stay away from them and identify them by sight and avoid them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Okay. So my question is, like, obviously Cordelia sucks and Buffy knows that. And it's like, she's gathering information at this point, right? That she's the new girl. She's gathering information. She's deciding what she wants to do. It seems like she's almost immediately gets a vibe from Willow that she wants to hang out with Willow. And I'm wondering if we think there's a reason for that. Is it simply because Willow looks like a fun, nice person to hang out with? Or is there like something deeper to Buffy's immediate, like, I don't want to say attraction, but like, you know what I mean? Her instinctual pull to Willow.
I think that there probably is subconsciously. I think that as the Slayer, she has these abilities to hone, as we see later in the episode, and typically it's honing on vampires, but I think that she could probably spot somebody who has abilities or is special. And I also think that she is a person that is used to being an outcast, and I think she probably attracts herself and gravitates more towards outcasts, even though at the base level, she just wants to be a normal, cool girl. And I think that that's why she at first like is gravitated to Cordelia because she wants to have the cool clothes and the right outfit and the like nice hair, and she wants to fit in. So she is like she wants to be the girl that would be friends with Cordelia, but at the end of the day, like, she is just like a fellow outcast.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm going to like give my first small prediction here and say that there is something more to Buffy wanting to be friends with Willow. Mm-hmm. And I think it is not something that will be revealed right away. Like, I think there is something special about Willow, but maybe like the show doesn't even get into it until like the second or third season or something. Like, I think Willow is special in some specific way. I don't know why, but I think she is.
I think by episode 3, we'll find out what's going on with
Okay. Luke. But it's very interesting insight into Buffy. I don't know exactly how I feel. To me, it felt very much like Buffy pretty much knew immediately she wanted nothing to do with Cordelia, but it was more of like, she is the information hub as one of the more popular people in the school, and she is using her for that reason, right? Cordelia is the one who says, like, oh, the Bronze, that's like the place you want to go. That's where everyone hangs out. And I feel like that's valuable information for Buffy to have as a slayer, if you will, like as someone who needs to be on the lookout for things. It's a good thing to know.
I don't know. I think at this point in the episode, she truly is just trying to be a normal girl.
Could be. Certainly could be. And she goes into, honestly, one of the most beautiful libraries I've ever seen, let alone a school library. This thing was very nice looking.
Yeah, this thing looks like it's out of Harvard or something. It's like very prestigious looking. Mm-hmm. And she's looking to get some books, and she comes across a newspaper article that says local boys still missing.
Yes.
And before she can really get into it, she gets pulled away by this teacher guy. I forget his name.
He's the librarian. His name is Giles.
Okay, his name is Giles. Okay.
Which so is like very what is it? Is it Batman?
Yeah. Well, Batman is Alfred. It's very
sorry. Did we do this already? I feel like I'm repeating a conversation in my head.
Yeah. That's very I think that you're also thinking of
is Clue? Is that where the guy's name is Giles?
No, I think that what you're reaching for is
No.
What's the Iron Man's assistant?
Oh, his name is Giles?
Jarvis.
That's not what I was. I don't know. Someone is named Giles. Yeah. But either way, this man is a fancy pants. Like, he is like British. He's fancy pants. He's the new librarian. We find out later from Willow that he's like pretty much brand new as well. And he like seemingly immediately knows all about Buffy. Like, he knows she's the Slayer. He's like, here, I was told you were coming. And we find out he is a quote-unquote watcher.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What does that mean to you?
This means nothing to me beyond what he says.
Yeah.
He says that he's like a watcher in his job. She's like, why don't you slay? And he's like, well, that's the Slayer's job. That's not my job, is to watch.
Yeah. If I was given the Slayer position, then I would slay. What I am is a watcher, which watches.
He gives her this ginormous, old-looking, hysterical book entitled Vampire, but it is spelled V-A-M-P-Y-R. He's like, here's what you need. Wham.
Very subtle. She's like, no, I just wanted my trigonometry book. That is all I wanted in this world. And she is very resistant towards this. She says that she has zero interest in slaying. She left that life behind. She is retired now, which, by the way, I too wanted to retire at 16, and that is not going well for me.
Yeah.
And she's very resistant. Like, she does not want to do it. Like I said before, she wants to just be a normal girl. And Giles is like, but you're the chosen one. Every 1 in 1,000 girls becomes a slayer or something like that. And she's like, I don't want it.
Yeah,
don't
she doesn't. It. And this is like very familiar of any teen show where like a teen gets powers, where they're like, I just want to be a normal kid. Like, she doesn't want to deal with this. She doesn't know how he knows who she is. She wants nothing to do with this like whole prophecy. She just wants to be a normo. So she runs out, and then we overhear these girls in the locker room talking about, oh, what kind of name is Buffy? And the girl saying this is named like Aphrodisia or something. And I'm like, who the fuck are you to talk, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, for real though, but what kind of name is Buffy?
I mean, to me, Buffy feels like it should be short for something. You know, like Peggy is short for like Elizabeth, but like, what would Buffy be short for?
Funnily enough, it is a nickname of Elizabeth.
No, really? I was going to say maybe like a weird like Margaret or something. Like Margaret becomes Buffy. Elizabeth becomes Buffy.
It is a nickname for Elizabeth.
Elizabeth has too many nicknames because you could be Liz, Lizzie, Beth, like Lizbeth. I don't know.
Sure.
Eliza.
I kind of like the name Buffy.
Can I tell you, it reminds me of Muffy, which reminds me of
Je suis la jeune fille. I am a young girl.
What?
That's Muffy.
Who is Muffy?
Muffy's a foreign language thing from the 90s.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's like a monster looking thing, right?
Maybe that's Muzzy.
Oh.
Je suis la jeune fille. I am a young girl.
Isn't Muffy the character's name from the little aardvark guy? What was his name?
Al?
No.
Alf?
You're
talking
right
about
now.
Arthur.
Arthur. Thank you. I kept wanting to say Arnold. Arthur. There was a character named Muffy in that.
Oh, we're paid to name as many 90s shows as we possibly can.
We're racking up the big bucks right now.
For every 90s show we mention that's not Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we get 25 cents. So
we're rich right now.
We're just trying to get that number up. Yeah. I think Buffy's a cute name. I like it. But these two girls that are shit-talking my girl Buffy, they open up the locker in the gym, and the death guy from the beginning of the episode comes out.
Yeah, this is ridiculous to me. You're a vampire. I assume you have some sort of super strength based on what we see later. And what you decide to do with the dead body that you sucked all the blood out of is just shove it in a locker?
I would say that this is bad housekeeping as the vampire.
1,000%. There's so many other things you could do to dispose a body, unless you want to get caught or you want to be like, hey, you got a vampire problem here, you know, like maybe. Especially because you bit him on the neck, which is such an obvious place too.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. He was very gray. The girl screamed, which
I mean,
was
I would
satisfying
scream too.
Oh yeah,
very
I
satisfying would, scream.
Yeah, I would cry and die. But we see Willow eating lunch alone with her JanSport backpack.
She is brown bagging it so hard, and also, I don't know why I noticed this, and I don't know if this is the case, but it looks so she's wearing a brooch, which looks like a bowling pin and a bowling ball. And I don't know if she's into bowling, but I want to keep an eye on that.
I would say that she seems like the type of girl to be in a bowling league.
I would strongly agree with that sentiment.
Maybe
yes.
I do want to give her a noogie.
Yeah. What? No, don't give Willow a noogie. Willow is a sweet baby angel who must be protected at all costs.
I don't know. Maybe I do. So Buffy comes around and is like, hi, Willow. Let me hang out with you.
And Willow is terrified.
Well, it's so sad because she knows that she's a dork. And she knows that if Buffy hangs out with her, then that reduces her coolness level.
Yeah.
And she's like, so if bad. You want to hang out with me, then you're not going to be like friends with Cordelia.
I loved this where she's like, well, can't I do both? And Willow says, not legally.
Not legally, not in this school. And Buffy admits like, you know what? Like I heard that you were the person around school that could help tutor me because I really want to get good grades here. And yes. Willow starts talking like a total dork about how cool the library is and how cool the new librarian is. And this is where Buffy realizes that this is a new librarian. He's probably here because she's here. And then the boys, Jesse and Xander, come by. And Xander is dribbling drool all over Buffy.
Yeah. This is like, I mean, they capitalize on the fact that Buffy is speaking to Willow and they just like jump in on this conversation. Hey girls, what's up? Are you busy? Are we interrupting? They're like all about new girl Buffy, specifically Xander. And yeah, like Xander is trying to play it off like very cool. I don't know. I have another flag to plant later, but certainly we obviously have Xander is going to be the best guy friend to Buffy, who like is absolutely head over heels in love with her.
Oh,
he's the Noel, if you will.
And then she very early on friend zones him, and it's just like,
yes,
never gonna happen.
But I think eventually they will kiss.
I guess.
You don't, I don't think
know.
So?
I mean, yeah, I think so, but I don't know how into it it is. Like, Xander's a normal guy. Like, I want Buffy to date a not normal guy.
We're gonna talk about a not normal guy in a bit. Yeah. But he does, he returns her stake. And the thing is, Buffy is like a little surprised about how many questions they're asking her, but I don't think she should be. She's the new girl in school. Everyone wants to know everything about her.
Well, that is so annoying, because the best thing about meeting people is that people love to talk about themselves. So if you're a person that doesn't really want to share that much about yourself, the best thing about meeting new people is just asking them questions so that so that you don't have to talk about yourself.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines from the pilot was, not much goes on in a one Starbucks town like Sunnydale.
At least it has one Starbucks. That's pretty lucky. I mean,
the mention of Starbucks is kind of wild, right? In the 90s?
Well, yeah. I mean, trendy. We're California trendy here.
Yeah.
So Cordelia comes around and is like, why are you hanging out with these losers?
Yeah.
Anyway, did you hear about the dead guy in the locker?
Yeah. And like, Buffy wants to know all the details. She's like, oh, what was his wound like? Was he drained of all his blood?
Cordelia's like, ew, you're kind of a freak, but I don't know. Like, I didn't ask questions, you weirdo. So Buffy runs off, and the door to the locker room is understandably locked because it's now a crime scene. And Buffy with hers, and this is the first time we see Buffy that has super strength.
Yeah. She just rips the door. Like, the door full on just breaks.
Yeah. She's like, I am going to rip open the door. I don't care about locks. I'm watching Veronica Mars right now, and Veronica Mars like can pick a lock. Buffy's like, no, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to rip this door open.
Yeah. I don't really care if I'm leaving a little bit of damage in my awake. I got to get in there and take a look. And of course, her suspicions are confirmed because we got a guy drained of blood. And my favorite is Buffy's reaction. She's seeing a full-on dead body, and her reaction is, ugh, great.
Yeah, because she knows she has to deal with it, right? Like,
yeah,
she came to here to Sunnydale. It sounds like a picture-perfect town that would have nothing of the sort.
Yeah.
And she has to deal with this thing. Like, ugh. So she runs to find Giles and is like, I don't want this responsibility. Like, I don't want this. I don't want any of this. And he tries to once again be like, you are the chosen one. It's part of the prophecy.
Yeah. He's trying, like, she's very upset. She's like, I just want to be cool. I just want to like pass my classes. And now we have a dead guy who's drained of blood that very obviously is because of a vampire. And she's like, she's trying to say, I don't care. I'm done here. But she very obviously cares, you know, like, she obviously cares that people are dying, and he wants to know, oh, is he going to rise again? And we get a little bit of vampire lore here, which is, they can't just drain you of blood. After they drain you, or after they suck your blood, you have to suck their blood. It is an entire sucking thing.
Yeah. It is more ritualistic than just, I'm going to bite you and you're a vampire. This is kind of like the Sims 4 vampire, how it works in there, where it's like, you suck me, I suck you, and then you're a vampire in 3 days type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to be agreeable.
Yeah. And the thing is Buffy is like, I'm tired of doing this whole spiel. Like, I'm done with this. Like, I've been there. I've done that. I've slayed the vampires. I don't want to do this anymore. But Giles is very much like, here's all my data. Here's all my books. Like, there have been things in the area. Like, here's everything I know. Basically throwing books at her about zombies, werewolves, succubi, incubi, anything and everything. All these monsters, which I only can assume we're going to get more of. Like, I don't think we're just going to get vampires in the show.
Yeah, but she's not Buffy the Incubus Slayer.
No, but if you're going to have vampires in your show, I feel like it's only a hop, skip, and a jump away from, like, werewolves and succubi and incubi and all that.
I did hear a werewolf howl at one point in time.
Okay. And I do think – I want to say we got some a visual of a vampire in the opening credits.
A vampire?
Or not a vampire, excuse me, a werewolf. I feel like I saw a furry paw of some sort.
That's just Buffy's new dog.
Yeah, Buffy gets a dog.
That's episode two. That's why Buffy gets dog.
But yeah, she's like, well, why don't you slay them? And he's like, I don't have the skills. But and should we, like, it's very much as is common in most vampire things, it's like, okay, you have to stake them in the heart, sunlight isn't good for them, you know, so the typical things about vampires,
right? And so the other things that I know about vampires is, like, the stereotypical, they don't like garlic. We have no talk about garlic in this
no episode. Talk of garlic, no.
They can't see themselves in a mirror. I don't know anything about that.
Don't yet. Show up in photographs. We don't know either of those yet.
No. Silver.
Silver is dangerous to them, which I think could come into it because of the cross that we get in the show later.
But I do think that cross paraphernalia is also part of vampire
lore. It hurts them, right? Like it burns.
I believe so. So yeah, there's some things that are, like, everybody knows about that do apply in this universe, where something in, I think that in, like, Twilight, I'm sorry, like, for anybody that's like, Twilight's stupid and not real vampires. Well, it's, like, the only reference point I have.
Right.
I think that, like, pretty much they were like, garlic doesn't hurt us. Like, all of these things are vampire myths.
It's all,
like,
a myth.
It's a bunch of
yeah.
bullshit.
Yeah. And there's been no reference to some of those things. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But I will say, this watcher business, I don't think I've ever seen in anything vampire related, where it seems like Giles's job as a watcher is to, like, train Buffy. And, like, he is the knowledge point. He is, like, the wise guy who knows all the little factoids there are to know, knows the lore, knows the history. And his job is to help Buffy. But, like, it seems like Buffy was not informed of this. I didn't sign up for this.
No. And also, it's interesting because it's like, once again, what was she doing previously?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't have a watcher before. And if she didn't, that must be really frustrating for her to basically have an unregulated time beating vampires on her own for a year. I don't know. Have, like, a boss man that, like, keeps track of her. Like, she's like, that's pretty annoying. Like, you're not my dad, Mr. Giles. I don't know you. You don't control me. Like, I've been doing it fine on my own for X, Y, and Z. So it seems as though, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if she had a previous watcher, but now she has somebody who's basically telling her what to do, and she just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, she just wants to try to fit in at this school, try to make friends that she's not going to endanger. But she's having a tough time when he keeps reminding her that she's the Slayer. And something that I was not expecting to happen in the very pilot first episode was Xander overhears this entire conversation, and so he knows that she's a Slayer.
He does. I mean, you know, there's only so much that he actually believes, but like, he heard that is information that he heard, which I do think it's interesting, because typically you would think that, like, it would be a secret from everybody, but it seems as though word is spreading. Also, I guess people know of vampires.
Yeah, I would have put money on Willow finding out first. Like, I would have put money on Buffy revealing this information to Willow at some point, because Willow is so smart and she maybe needs her help, or, like, you know, Giles and Willow band together to help Buffy or something like that. But regardless, it does seem like this is all, it feels very prophecy heavy, because Giles is like, this has been building for years. Like, there's a reason you're here now. Like, he's trying to, like, insist on this to Buffy that, like, there is something that is going to happen. Like, there's this whole thing about, like, the harvest, right? Like, that is, like, the big deal. It's the harvest, and it's coming up very soon, in, like, a matter of days. And we need to be prepared. But Buffy, again, is very, like, resistant to this whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. I would not want to hear anything about a harvest unless it is the corn harvest, or when I harvest my tomatoes in my tomato garden. Yeah. I don't want any of it. But we see a pan down to the to the under Sunnydale.
Yeah, and we're underdark area here.
It is cursed down there. There is sights to see.
Too many old white men for my comfortability.
I mean, it's a bunch of vampires. It's a bunch of vampires.
They talk about this person called the Sleeper, and he's going to wake. And he seems like the head honcho.
Wait, do you think that if he's called the Sleeper and now he has to wake up, he needs to get a new name?
The Waker. Honestly, can I tell you what I ended up calling him when I actually got eyes on him for the first time?
What
was that? I was like, oh, he's like Voldemort with a nose.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty much what he looked like. He is kind of very scary. But
they're all scary because they all, now that they're not around like the humans, they like can be in their full like vampire form, and they have like all the creepy faces and the yucky teeth.
Yeah, they're like, we can be full uggos down here. Yes, and nobody will judge us. Nobody will judge us. We can just be ugly as fuck. So, I mean, I think I was calling him Master because that's what we meet this other vampire guy. I think his name is Lucas. And, or maybe.
Oh, the guy who's like praying. He's talking about, oh, the Sleeper will awake and the world will bleed.
So, so that guy seems like a little of like a higher tier vampire than a Darla.
He seems like a fun guy, right?
I would not want to go to the club with him.
No, he looks like an ugly version of Dexter, to be honest. And he's like praying to the puddle of blood. And he's like,
as you do. I pray to all my puddles of blood. I collect them. Once a very cursed baptism.
So something is happening there. Meanwhile, Buffy is trying to get dressed to go to the Bronze, and she has two different outfits picked out. We have like a black pleather dress which when she holds it up to a mirror, she goes, "Hi, I'm an enormous slut."
Well, I mean, get it, girl.
It's giving BDSM vibes.
She probably looks so good in that. I would love to see her in that. Yeah. So that, and then like her other outfit was like some sort of like dorky blouse.
It's like a floral Little House on the Prairie vibes. Yeah.
So she's trying to go out to like a teen club, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's called the Bronze is the place the where Bronze she wants to go.
And she's talking to her mom, and her mom, I don't know, like her mom's just like a mom. Like there's nothing very interesting about her mom quite yet.
No, she's doing the typical mom stuff where she's just like trying to have a conversation with her daughter and like, oh, how was school? You know, like, oh, I think we can make it work here. Like this seems like a really nice town. And it becomes very obvious at this point that her mom has no idea that she's a slayer. Like we don't know anything about Buffy's dad. I don't know if she has a dad, if he's in the picture.
Nobody needs a dad.
It seems Buffy might have daddy issues.
I've lived 15 years without a dad. My life is fine.
Oh my god,
it's true. So her mom gives her the blessing about going out, and she goes, and Buffy is walking to the club. Her outfit that she decided to wear was like a white t-shirt with like a blue like jogger jacket. I am saying that this is not a type of outfit that you want to go to the club in, but that's
no, the BDSM should have been the one she chose.
That was not the best outfit, but she feels that somebody is following her, and she has a good sense for this.
Mm-hmm.
And
she does some gymnast shit. This is crazy. She's going down a super creepy like alleyway, and I'm like, here we go. We're about to get our first fight of the show because we're in a creepy alleyway.
Yeah.
She's up on top of this pipe doing like, who's the girl? You know, who's the gymnast?
Simone Biles.
Thank you. She's Simone Bilesing the fuck out of that pipe. Just full on vertical.
She's vertical on the pipe. Yeah. And she swings around like a gymnast and hits this hot guy in the face.
Bones. She hits Bones in the face.
Bones?
He's from Bones.
Okay. So who's this guy? Is this David Boreanaz?
Oh god, you're gonna make me Google again. David Boreanaz. That's him. That is him. That's
now
his
David
face.
Boreanaz is a famous guy that's important.
We don't know what his name is in this episode. We don't find out. However, I think I know.
Okay.
We know. Yes.
Angel.
This is Angel.
This is Angel. Now
Angel.
This is so now I have an idea.
Okay.
My idea is that he is Buffy's guardian angel because he gave her the cross
So that's not only
to protect her.
So not only does she have a watcher, she has an angel as well.
Yes, this makes so much sense. So basically Hawkeye, Angel, is like, hi, I am here to help you. We want the same things. And he's like, we want to kill them all. And Buffy's like, actually, no. All I want to do is just like hang out and be a teen. And
yeah, he's like surprised that she's not like bigger or like more intimidating, but he's like, oh, but you're actually kind of impressive. And he says like, I do the same thing you do, and he wants to help her. And he says he wants to kill him. Yeah. And he basically says like, you aren't allowed to look the other way now. You're standing at the mouth of hell and it's about to open.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And this is when he gives her the cross. And also, can we just say he's wearing the shiniest suit ever? It looks like a suede or like a, I don't know.
Because he radiates light because he's from the heavens above. Well, he should be wearing
all white then, shouldn't he?
That's too obvious. It's too obvious. So he does something that like every girl dreams of, is give a necklace and piece of jewelry on the first date.
And he's very mysterious. He doesn't even say his name. And he says, I'm a friend. And he gives her the look. And let me tell you, the vibes I was getting, the chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, this is our first love interest. And let me just tell you, I'm already getting love triangle-y vibes.
Yeah.
We're about to have Buffy, who is into Angel. Maybe not. Angel is into her, or he's like the bad boy. And then you have the friend who loves you in Xander. I'm already putting, those are my little predictions being thrown out already.
The only thing is that like Angel is like a grown ass man.
How old is he supposed to be, right? Like he's not in high school.
He's eternal. Right?
Oh, you think he's immortal?
Of course. Like, he is no age, but all ages.
So he's actually an angel.
I think so. I really
so
do.
What is – okay. I don't know the lore on angels. Because he's not the angel with, like, the halo. He is, like, an archangel or something, right?
I don't know.
I don't know what an archangel is.
A celestial.
He could be.
An ASMR.
Okay, you're just saying D&D things now.
It's something.
Does he have wings?
1,010%, I would assume.
When is he going to pop them out?
Like in 3 seasons.
3 seasons?
Maybe at the end of the season. Look.
Okay.
I mean, before he gets his own spinoff.
Yeah. We know that's the thing we know is he gets a spinoff. And
he's,
I mean,
he is hot, to be honest.
He's very good looking. He's very good looking.
Like, he looks like he could be like 10 years her senior.
I mean, certainly. But everyone is cast. Everyone who's cast is a little older than they actually are, like the character is. But he gives her the most gaudy, ugly silver cross that anyone's ever seen.
Also, hold on, reminds me, we cover Cruel Intentions. Do you know what was in her cross?
Oh, it was coke.
It was cocaine.
Maybe that's what's in their cross. He's a drug dealer.
Oh no, it's Angel, but make it bad.
Yeah. And so she finally gets to the bronze. And we have this band playing, like everyone's singing, everyone's dancing, everyone's having a great time. And it's so funny. There's a guy that she thinks is waving to her, and he's waving to the guy behind her. And she's like, does the whole like, oh, I was just like brushing my hair. Like I wasn't waving.
I think that's happened to me before.
That's embarrassing for you.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty embarrassing. You're right. So she spots Willow, and she is talking they're talking about boys because basically Willow's like, you know, you must have it so easy. The boys must really love you. And she's like, I don't really talk to boys anymore because they make me shy and I say stupid things and can barely say anything. But you are so pretty. And, you know, she says this really funny line. She was just like, you know, I think boys really want a girl who can talk. And Buffy's like, you really haven't been dating recently.
Yeah, it was so funny. And she says like, oh, Xander and I used to date when we were 5. And I'm like, Willow, girl, like if you're bringing up people you quote unquote dated when you were 5, come on, girl. Like, I just want more for you. I don't think I shouldn't say I don't think, because anything can happen in these teen dramas. It's possible Willow will like Xander and that will cause issues because Xander likes Buffy and Buffy doesn't like Xander. I don't know. But I love this little combo. It's like a tiny little combo where they're like, life is short. You should go after what you want. Like, who cares? Hit on a guy, you know, don't waste your life away. Like, just laugh at something a guy says. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I do like this advice from Buffy because I think that she does a really good job of, like, once again, like, she seems like such a cool, popular girl. She's so pretty, but, like, she really does want the best for Willow. And she's not like she's not looking down or being condescending to Willow. She's just like, you know, live your life. Life is short. Like, just do you.
Yeah, she came up with YOLO like 20 years too soon.
She YOLO'd, YOLO'd her life away. I also really love her blue eyeshadow, which, you know, blue eyeshadow became like, quote unquote, tacky at one point in time. But I'm feeling this and I kind of want to try it. But is it still tacky? I don't know.
I think you can make it work. I do like it. Like, I think there is something about the blue eyes with like a ruddy red sort of lip. Like, there's something there, like a brownish red lip.
Yeah,
there's
very, something there. Very 90s. Yeah.
Her hair is up like in a little like messy French twist, basically, which like little pieces off the front. The whole thing is very 90s. And like, the most surprising part of this whole like mosh pit secret club in Sunnydale is the fact that the school librarian is there.
Yeah. Well, he's watching
he's a watcher.
He has one job.
Literally
in his life.
Job description.
One job. Watch. He's a watcher. He is watching. She spots him, goes, that's a pedophile. Yeah. I'm going to go after him. And
get out of here.
Yeah. She goes up to him and goes, what are you doing here? And he's like, there could be vampires everywhere. Yeah.
It's dark. It's crowded. They can definitely suck blood here. And he says,
you're not even paying attention. This is your one job, to be the slayer. You're the chosen one. She's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And
yeah, she's like, I don't want to do this. And so he's like, but you need to be trained. He's like, can you even tell if there are vampires in here? Like, what do you know? And at the same point in time, she calls Angel this like annoyingly cute guy. And I'm like, yeah, girl, you into it, Buffy. Like, we all are, girl. You think he's sexy. You think he's mysterious.
Yeah. Mr. Giles, you sent this hot man after for me.
Yeah.
Thank you, because I really did want to get hooked up with a hot guy, but also he was kind of annoying and he gave me this big piece of jewelry, which I liked it. She's not wearing it. She doesn't like it enough to wear it, but she does like it. So he's like, you know what you need to do? You need to hone your skills.
Yeah. He's like, so point out all the vampires in the room. And to her credit, she immediately points out this dude. She's like, this guy is wearing such old fashioned. He looks like he walked out of the 80s. Like, it's the 90s, bitch. Like, that is not in style anymore. And so she's like, that guy right there, he's a vampire.
Yes. And he's like, why do you think that? She explains. He goes, I don't really think that you are, you know, really honing your skills enough. But Buffy sees that guy that is wearing horrible fashion is talking to Willow, because Willow has decided to take Buffy's advice and seize the day and hit on a guy.
Yes.
And she's like, oh no, this is really, really bad. So she goes and tries to rescue her. But he has already lured her to the creepy graveyard.
Yes. And I do want to back up a second and just be like, okay, so now we also know that beyond her super strength and ability to slay vampires, it seems like a slayer is supposed to have some sort of like spidey sense. They're supposed to be able to like have some sort of energy come to them about like when a vampire is near. And so like, she is using more detective work than spidey senses to tell that this guy is a vampire. So what she ends up missing is Dexter's girlfriend, Darla, is also there and is also a vampire and is hitting on Jesse.
Yeah.
And Jesse is prime for the taking because he likes Cordelia, but she's like, ugh, this guy.
Yeah, there is multiple vampires, and she was only anticipating one.
Right.
So she goes to go look for Willow, and on her way there, she does something that was very hilarious, where she finds a chair and breaks off the chair leg into a perfect stake.
Yes.
And she's looking, and she gets basically like tapped on the shoulder by Cordelia and then winds up like choking her out.
Yeah. And Cordelia says, God, what is your childhood trauma?
Which was pretty hilarious.
One of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
Cordelia feels like she walked pretty much off of the set of Clueless half the time.
Yeah, that was a very Amber from Clueless line.
Yeah, I think at one point she even says like, I'm trying to think of what she says, but basically she goes like, ugh, pretty much. Like at the end, yeah. She adds much, you know?
Yeah, yes. So Cordelia, you know, she is very disgusted by the fact that she got choked out by Buffy and decides that she has to call everybody she knows right now to tell everybody at school that
yeah, Buffy
the new girl Buffy is a freak.
Yeah. Also, I will say, as much as I dislike Cordelia for very obvious reasons, her outfit was very cute. Her blue outfit at the scene was very cute.
So what, it's just a little blue dress?
It's a blue dress. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the I thought the neckline on it was really nice. It's kind of like a swooping, squarish swoop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's getting lured to the graveyard. We got like Uggos. So we got the head vampire downstairs.
Master.
Is like praying. Yeah, he's praying to the blood puddle. No,
Lucas is praying to the blood pile and summons the master.
Yeah, Voldemort comes out. He kind of looks like BDSM Voldemort because he's wearing all leather.
hot. Yeah.
But he also has kind of a face only a mother could love.
He has sharper nails than my nails.
Disgusting. Yeah, his nails are longer than yours, which isn't an easy feat.
Yeah. And pointier, which also is not an easy feat.
Yeah.
So he comes out. He's like, I'm weak.
Yeah. He and apparently after the harvest, the master will be restored.
Yes. So okay. Lucas has promised that food is coming for master.
Yes.
He's hoping for some young blood. He wants veal and not beef. And
do you think he eats babies?
Ew.
He looks like a baby eater.
Probably.
But you just said he wants veal.
Yeah, I was just thinking like a teenager. Like,
well, that's what they're getting. You say, like, I've sent your servants to go get you something young.
Yeah, sure.
Which I guess is the high schoolers, not babies. Yeah.
Now, if I was a guy and I brought you on a date to the graveyard, how would you feel?
No, I would run. Absolutely not. If I had just met a man that looked like he wanted to fuck and was like touching my chin and giving the fuck me eyes and then brought me to a graveyard, no.
Yeah. Cause then the next thing you know is going to turn into like the end of Saltburn. And you know,
I haven't seen Saltburn, but I don't think it's a good thing that it's going to be like the end of Saltburn.
No. So basically Willow's getting lured into a place that she shouldn't be. And Buffy found Xander and is like, do you know where Willow is? And yeah. Xander's like, I don't know where she is, but I know that you think that you are a vampire slayer, you freaking loser.
Yeah, he basically right away is like, oh, you're a slayer, right? And I love Buffy's reaction of like, what was this in the school newspaper? Like, what is going on?
But he doesn't believe her at the moment. Like, he just thinks that, I don't know if he thinks that she's delusional or that he's making fun of her or what the thing is. But she really is like, I don't care what you think, but I do care about where Willow is. So where would she be?
He says, like, I know you think you're a slayer, which also has me questioning, because you brought this up earlier, like, okay, so it seems like slayer is like a term that is used around here. And so to me, I'm like, okay, so in this world that we're in, is like, are vampires common knowledge? Like, you know what I mean?
That's what I want to know. Like, maybe somebody like Xander knows that vampires are real because he's more into like quote unquote geeky stuff or science. Yeah. But maybe somebody like Cordelia has no idea. Like, maybe like Xander trolls like the Reddit forums.
Mm-hmm.
Before Reddit, like the forums, and like knows, but somebody like Cordelia isn't in the know, is my guess.
I think that's fair. I'm interested, like, I'm very interested in the lore of the show, like the world building, because I think they're already, like, this pilot, I did watch it twice. Like, I do feel like there's a lot of stuff here that is very, it's not exposition heavy by any means, but they drop little things where I'm like, oh, okay. So it's not like everyone's like, oh my God, vampires are real. Like, it feels like they're saying the word slayer as if that is a word that they've said in the past. So right. I'm very intrigued by this.
Or is it like kind of like the Avengers where like people know that there's like superheroes right. out there and they're just like, not so, like some of them are celebrities, like some of them have abilities, or like or X-Men where like, oh, we yeah. know there's like there's people out, mutants out there, like is it yeah. common knowledge, is it common knowledge that there's people that literally slay them, or is it just like something more underground, or does nobody believe in it and just like everything's a, I mean, we don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think it's very interesting, and I'm really interested to find out more about, like, who knows what? What is common knowledge? What isn't? But poor Willow gets, like, shoved into, like, this crypt area, and this guy obviously is a very bad guy. She's, like, doesn't want to be in here, but in comes Darla, and apparently they're, like, this is very much, like, vampire lore of, like, the family, right? Like, I don't know if like Darla made the 80s dressed guy into a vampire, and so they're like quote unquote related, kind of like drag families, you know, in a way.
Yes. Yeah. My vampire mother, my vampire yeah. father, you're yeah. my drag mom. And then you can look at the whole family tree. You're my drag sister.
Yeah. This is the house Vampira.
Sounds like a pretty basic name, to be honest with
Slay.
You. Truly sly. Yeah. And then I guess Jesse has been lured in here too.
Yeah, Darla brought Jesse. And like you were saying before, so he comes in and she got hungry for a snack on the way. But we don't know if like she turned full vampire when she went to feed on him or like yeah. how this works.
Yeah, because he seems like still in the dark because he's like, you gave me a hickey. Because yeah. like, he's bleeding from his neck, but he doesn't realize that like what actually happened.
He's very out of it. I think she depleted enough. It's kind of like when you give blood, like you mm-hmm. get a little faint, a little woozy. No one yeah. gave him his crackers or his little cookies after he juice. Gave blood. He didn't yeah. get any juice. He's missing electrolytes.
Yeah, I mean, that does happen. I mm-hmm. fainted giving blood before.
Yeah.
It was very embarrassing. It's happened more than once, actually.
Really?
Oh my! Yeah, and then
were you drinking the juice and stuff? Like, why did yeah. you faint?
I just fainted. Like, some people just faint during my. I don't know. My huh. iron was probably low. I'm not yeah. quite sure, but so yeah, they're none the wiser. They don't know what happens, and then they're about to be doomed. But then Buffy comes in with Xander yeah. and is like super cool because she's just like. She's doing like the evil person monologue where it's like she plays with her food before she.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this place is cute. It could use a little bit of paint, but like, yeah. it's not too bad.
Not too bad. And she's like, do you want to do this the hard way or the hard way? Actually, there's just the hard way. Like, she's spunky. Like, she's
I love
really
that.
Sassy and spunky. And she's like really funny. Like, something that like I just like really appreciate that she's like, sassy but can kick ass but is also cool but is also like yeah like I just really like this character. And she's
like, she is roasting them a bit, right? She's like saying to the guy who's dressed from the 80s, like, can you like update your outfit a little bit?
yeah basically you're really an uggo. So she very quickly kills off the guy with the bad fashion sense.
Oh, and this was interesting. So she stabs him with her stake, right? And he like falls to the ground, but before he hits the ground he turns into like dust.
He dissipates. Now, once again, like the Avengers, like when everybody gets zapped.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It is kind of, yeah, visually, it is kind of like a 90s version of that. And so Darla says, oh, he was young and stupid. So apparently he wasn't even an old vampire.
No,
and they get into a fight.
So basically, Willow, Xander, and Jesse get to leave while the two women are fighting. And they have, like, it's very, like, karate chop, kicking, punching.
Yes.
They're battling. It's a little bit of throwing. She's definitely doing a good job of beating her. And I think that if Lucas didn't come, then she probably could have defeated Darla.
Definitely. On her own, 1v1, I think Buffalo handily beats Darla. But mm-hmm. Lucas comes in, he like grabs her by the neck, and he says, like, you were supposed to just bring an offering for Master. Like, what are you doing fucking around in here? And he's pissed. So Darla, I think, is definitely another underling.
Yes,
it seems like the hierarchy is like Master, then Lucas, yes, then Darla, then dead vampire.
Correct. Yes, I agree with that. Like, I think that Darla had some subservience under her, but she is probably going to be fired from her managerial duties.
Well, she doesn't even stick around. Lucas is like, Darla, you get out of here.
No. Lucas said, Darla, go catch the food for Master. I'll deal with this young girl.
Yeah, so, and he like smacks her. He throws her. So not only does Buffy have super strength as well as some sort of vampire spidey sense, but she also seems pretty resilient to a lot of things that would hurt a normal human being.
Yeah, she definitely has some abilities, but like, he's strong. Like, he, Lucas says, like, you are strong, but like, I'm stronger.
Yes.
And he winds up throwing her into like the catacomb.
Yeah, the sarcophagus.
The sarcophagus, which is occupied by a skeleton.
Yeah. He wants to stop. He says, like, oh, you think you can stop me? You think you can stop us? And so we see, as Buffy is fighting with Lucas, we see the other three teenagers out in the graveyard, and they're trying to escape. And suddenly they're like surrounded by other vampires. This is like a mob of vampires. Yeah,
they're a little fucked. They're like a little fucked. The professor, he's not a professor, Giles is doing his own research. He sees, like, in one of his old crusty books that the Master is coming. It is prophesized. This is
The Master will walk among them once more.
Ooh. And we are ending the episode, like, you know, she thinks that she's okay. Maybe she starts to sit up, but then
he comes.
And he, like, jumps over and is, like, about to, like, bite her. And then it goes to black. And I will just say, that was a good run for Buffy.
We get a TBC. We get a to be continued on our very first episode. I do think we see Buffy before he jumps on her and the episode ends. She looks up within the, like, crypt or whatever this place is called, monastery thing. And she sees a little window with like seemingly moonlight shining through, but I'm wondering how late it is. Is she waiting for sunlight? She did mention earlier that sunlight does harm them. I'm predicting that something with the light is going to help her, but we certainly end the episode with both Buffy and the trio of Jesse, Xander, and Willow all seemingly in a ton of trouble.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to say, I think Buffy dies, and I think that's it. I don't think we're going to see her again.
Yeah.
And it was a good run for her. A cool character. I really liked her. I'm sad that I'm not going to see this character again.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
That's it for her.
And if I had to guess, like, why, you know, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer when Buffy dies in the first episode, I would say, like, aren't we all Buffy a little bit? I'm Buffy.
We're all Buffy.
We're all Buffy. So
we all thirst for Angel.
So the next Slayer is just a Buffy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm obviously she's going to figure out her shit and
she'll get it together.
Save the day. We have a lot more of Buffy. I mean, we still have to see her become a cheerleader, but I think that this was a really, really good pilot. And I'm like a little disappointed that we decided to only cover the first episode.
Wanted to hit play
because it's been like some time in between you and I watching this and us recording, so it's been a couple of days, and I mean, I don't know what happens next, but I'm very curious to see what happens next. And I think I really enjoyed it. I'm really, really excited to check out this show. Like I said before, I'm really excited about the character of Buffy. I think that she's really cool, really funny, really sassy. The perfect character for me personally to root for. And I really like Willow, even though, like I said earlier, she's not typically the type of character that I like gravitate towards of like rooting for, but I think that she's like really going to wind up being such a badass. And I'm really excited about Angel. And I can care less about Xander and Jesse, but maybe eventually I'll care about them.
Yeah, I think I have a similar mindset to you where like, I obviously am a, like, I really loved Buffy right out the gate. I feel like Willow is very much up my alley as a character I usually love in television shows. Xander and Jesse, I don't think we know enough. Like Jesse just seems like an idiot doofus who like just wants to fuck. So I'm interested in seeing where we go. Next episode is called The Harvest, so apparently that's happening very quickly.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought this was possibly going to be like the master was going to be like a big bad, but like it seems maybe resolvable. I don't know.
I mean, it's very quick. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's the harvest next week on Buffy.
But yeah, there's going to be some pumpkins, some squash.
Who doesn't love a harvest festival?
Some maize. And then what do we think about Giles?
Giles, I think, is nerdier than Willow. I feel like he does a really bad job at his job to start. Like, I think he needs to be able to convince Buffy that, like, what she's doing is a meaningful cause. And, like, I don't think he's doing a good job of that. I also think it's really creepy for him to go to the Bronze and, like, be watching students dance, you know? Like, it's a little weird, Giles.
But he's the watcher.
He watches.
That's his one job. He has to watch.
I need to know more about exactly what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? Like,
you want to see his LinkedIn job description.
Yeah, pretty much. I need to know what the hell he's supposed to be doing because it doesn't seem like he's doing it.
Number one, he has to watch. Number two, he has to research.
Yeah.
Number three, he's in charge of the literature.
And he's a librarian.
And the lore.
So does Todd the librarian immediately love him because he's a fellow librarian, do you think?
I mean, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we'll have to have Todd on eventually to ask. But we do have some feedback to get into because people are really excited for us to watch Buffy. We heard from Linda from our Dawson's Creek days. She said, welcome to Hellmouth, ladies. I'm so super excited you guys are covering my favorite show of all time, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're going to have so much fun exploring Sunnydale and getting to know its residents. Grab those tissues because you'll need them along this journey. Interesting.
Love that for me. Mm-hmm. Let me cry.
She loves the theme song. She says it still manages to hype her up 20 years later. So good to know people love the theme song. I felt like it was very like intense in like a good way. I felt like it really got me ready for the episode. She says Buffy teen drama checklist rundown. Buffy, the new girl in town looking for a fresh start, who is quite literally battling demons. Check. Willow, the smart, nerdy, unpopular girl who we are going to pretend isn't gorgeous by dressing her in layers.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Her hair looks so shiny.
And it was very long. Very long.
And silky.
Yeah.
I was pretty jealous of her
hair.
Reminds
me of my mom's hair a lot.
Oh.
My mom has very silky, shiny, straight hair.
Slay Pat.
Yeah, she nails it. Xander, the very suave, not pathetic class clown who's infatuated with the new girl. Cordelia, queen of the mean girls. Jesse, the unpopular boy obsessed with the most popular girl in school. Typical. Giles, the mentor, and the mysterious older guy who clearly didn't get DBK's memo about jewelry.
Very funny. DBK is another one of our friends who is a listener from the Dawson's Creek days, and he is a very big advocate of Felicity. And on the Felicity podcast, he said the number one rule is to not give jewelry on the first date.
Angel immediately breaking
or this. Like early in the dating, and he gives obviously that's kind of what I was like referring to earlier. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, like Angel gave Buffy a piece of jewelry.
But he also didn't tell her his name, which, like, is check in the mysterious boy column, you know?
Very mysterious. Yeah. And we're not supposed to know his name.
But we know.
Look, we're stupid, but not that stupid.
To be fair, it took Will being like, that's Angel, for me to be like, oh, okay.
To be fair, it wasn't until I realized that was David Boreanaz for me to realize that was Angel.
David Boreanaz equals Angel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she finishes, perfect ingredients to start with for loads of drama, chaos, fun, laughs, and angst. Can't wait to go on this awesome ride with y'all, Linda. So thank you,
Linda.
We love you. We also got an email from a new listener, Sarah.
Yeah.
And her name is Sarah.
Shut the fuck up.
With an H.
I welcome you. Just the same.
Fellow Sarah Club. She even has a Twitter handle that her online name everywhere involves Buffy. So you know she's a true blue fan. Mm-hmm. She says she has been listening about a variety of shows here and on PSR. She has been loving the Felicity podcast, but she's really excited for Buffy. She said she's an OG Buffy fan. She watched it when it was on, and it was one of her first serious fandoms. And this is where Sarah, I'm so interested in hearing from you throughout these episodes, because I love hearing about what it was like to be a show of a fan, like, as it aired.
Yeah.
And I feel like she has the tea from that. She said that she wasn't super active in any of the OG online fan communities. However, it was one where this show was, like, ahead of its time. It had a serious and active online fan community from the start, back in the days of dial-up.
Okay.
It's, like, incredible.
It is 1997. I am going on to my AOL. Mm-hmm. It goes. It opens up. You've got mail. You've got mail. I am going on to the Ask Jeeves. We got Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
Jeeves, where can I find Buffy info? And Jeeves is like, hi. This is where you can find the Buffy info. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the forums.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, I was like, Buffy feels rife for fanfic, like, pretty much instantaneously.
Yes. Or okay.
Yes.
AIM chat rooms.
Yes.
Oh, dark place that I did. I was there. Was there. ASL.
ASL, yes.
H sex location. And then you're like, oh, my name is Kiki. I'm 18 and I live in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
That's what I said.
And you weren't.
No. I was catfishing those bitches from day one. But that's where you probably can chat about Buffy as well in the AIM chat rooms.
Yeah, she said that it's like one of the first shows other than Star Trek, Sarah, to move beyond the screen and inspire as much fan discussion and analysis as it did. There are books, some are serious and academic about the show. There are, like, college courses taught about the show. Has one of the largest and most active fanfic communities of all time called it.
I really hope that there's some, like, oh, we need to read, like, dirty fanfic.
Oh, that should be a podcast all in and of itself. I think.
Yeah.
She said, today, this kind of fandom is super common and has spawned a huge industry, Comic-Con, et cetera, all on its own. Yeah, that's so interesting. She said that it was, like, there at the very beginning of it all, and OG Buffy fans were in the mix getting all this off the ground for all of us. I definitely agree with that. I feel like it's one of those shows that, like, spawned online discourse in a way that, like, a show like Lost did. Like, there are just a lot of shows that I feel like we wouldn't have podcasts today if not for online communities like that back in the day.
I'm curious, has there ever been a fandom that you've been a part of in that capacity?
Two, I would say. Harry Potter, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. Like, I was online on the forums for Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And then Lost was actually one as well that got me into, like, because it was a show that I didn't know anybody personally that watched it. I wanted to be able to talk to people about it, especially as I was watching live episodes. Like, I wanted to see what other people thought about the episodes and, like, their theories, because it was such a mystery box show. That was Lost, I think, is a big reason why I got into podcasting, like, all these years later, because it certainly kind of triggered me to being like, I need to find a community that enjoys this as much as I do, because I don't personally know anybody who's interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I would say, like, I guess Harry Potter to some capacity. I was listening to, like, MuggleCast as, like, my very first podcast. But yeah, I didn't really participate in anything like that. But I guess, like, maybe I used to tweet a lot about Pretty Little Liars when it was on. And I would speculate on Twitter. But I was never in forums, I don't think.
Yeah, I would say, like, I definitely was in forums. Like, the Harry Potter stuff I did was much more, honestly, kind of akin to, like, a Dungeons & Dragons sort of, like, online kind of, like, fanficky sort of thing. Like, you would make a character and, like, pretend to go to class and stuff like that. Oh, really? Yeah. Versus Lost was, I was much more, it was more message boardy. Like, it was, like, and here's what I think. Here's my latest theory. It was like before Reddit existed, but like akin to a Reddit nowadays.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting.
So, but yeah, basically Sarah says that like nowadays that's super common, but this show has like such a big societal impact, which is fascinating to me. And she says the context is really important as you both sit down to watch season one for the first time, because I will be surprised if you don't struggle with it. It's hard to introduce anyone to Buffy these days because they have to start with season one, and season one is pretty rough to get through. That is so interesting. She said, in my experience, by the time you're midway through the blissfully short season, it is only 12 episodes as compared to like every other season, I think is like 20 something. You'll be starting to get why people love the show, and you'll be able to look at past some of the worst flaws of season one. And she says that they get a much bigger budget like later on, which tracks, makes sense, okay. You know?
Yeah. I wonder like what exactly Sarah is referring to, because we really like the pilot, but maybe it gets weird, or
maybe some of the stuff is like just because it is 90s, like when you tend to do sci-fi in the 90s and you have to rely on like special effects and like makeup and prosthetics, sure, and all that, it can look a little clunky.
I don't think that bothers me, but we'll
see. It doesn't bother me. I mean, we're used to it, I think, at this point. I think we're both used to the highs and lows of teen dramas, because Dawson's Creek certainly had slumps. Boy Meets World even had slumps. Like every show has its slump when it runs for so long. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I watched old Doctor Who, and that has some really egregious like CGI stuff. So I don't think it's going to bother me that much.
Yeah.
And she said, without spoiling the specifics, Buffy has a lot of firsts. One of which is called Buffy Speak. This is what the slang language the characters speak in is called. It was the first time this was done on a TV show, although now it's pretty common. Apparently there are also like some books by linguists who studied it and everything, which is very interesting.
Oh.
Huh. She also says,
have I been speaking Buffy speak my whole life and I didn't know? So I'm just wondering.
Yeah. She also says that it tackled a lot of important subjects on like a primetime teen show, which I feel like we talked a lot about in Dawson's Creek. So I'll be interested to see what kind of stuff Buffy is going to tackle, you know? And she says it was also one of the first shows to blend genres like drama, comedy, horror, fantasy all in one show. Which is also interesting to think that like all of the shows that come after it, you know what I mean? Like I'm thinking like a Smallville, where obviously that's more based in like comics, but still very interesting. So yeah, she does say like it starts with the movie. She says, I don't think you have to watch the movie before you start the show, but it is something to consider watching at some point, and that the movie is a cult classic.
Okay. We will definitely put it on the docket at some point.
Yeah. Yep. So she says she doesn't, she said, don't hate the show based on the two sloppy dated episodes. It's incredibly well done and so worth it. Sarah, definitely continue to send us in emails, especially if you have like historical like things you want to mention. Like I find this all so fascinating. She sent us a really long email. I won't read all of it on the podcast, but there are so many interesting tidbits in here about like the background on the show, how it came to exist, all of that. So I'm very interested in hearing more of what you have to say, Sarah. So definitely send in more. Any other feedback, Sarah? I think I got everything.
I think that's it for now. I just know that there's been so much support and excitement on our social media about our coverage of Buffy. So, welcome to anybody that's been with us and anyone that's new. And I'm really excited about this journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm really appreciative to Linda and Sarah for sending in feedback. I'm going to read Sarah's email because I really, really want to see that background information. And to have Linda back is just like, it just warms my heart.
I know, really excited. I saw the email come in from Linda, I was like, yay, hi Linda. So if you have any feedback you want to send in, whether it's about like the background in the show, if you were like a day one fan, if you're joining us for the first time, never having watched Buffy, I'm also very curious to hear your experience. Send it in shit90spod@gmail.com. We also have a website, shit90spod.com, if you want to send in a voicemail, or you can also send a message in from there. And of course, if you're on Twitter or Instagram, you could find us at shit90spod. We seriously love getting feedback. Even if you don't want it to be read on the podcast, that's also cool. Just mention it in the email and we won't. But it's just, it's so nice to hear from people that are either like huge, huge Buffy fans or have never watched the show and are experiencing it for the first time like us.
Yeah.
So I love getting to hear people's different experiences. And I'm so curious to see what we will like that other people hate, or the opposite, you know, what we will hate that other people love.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So yeah. I'm really excited for this journey.
Me too. We are also covering Empire Records, and that should be dropped this weekend on the, I think on Saturday. So
yes. Yep.
Keep your eyes peeled for that. I've seen that movie, but I don't think Jess has.
I don't believe I have. And if I have, like, I don't remember enough anyway. So it'll be fun no matter what.
Yeah. And then later in the month, we're covering Can't Hardly Wait. Is that what we're doing? No, we're not.
No, it's something else that I'm not remembering because it's Jam in January.
Yeah. Well, we're covering something.
We're covering That Thing You Do.
That Thing You Do. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, musical themed episodes. And next month for February, we're probably going to do something that is
Rom-com Feb, baby.
Rom-com Feb. Trying to still get that off the ground. Somehow
one day.
It won't pick up. Nobody's really gone for Rom-com Feb in the last 4 years, but and also, of course, we are covering Felicity. We are midway through season one, and it's been a heck of a journey.
I'm really enjoying it, I have to say. Like, for as much crap as we give Felicity, I think the show is really fun. So I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, Carrie Russell was in the Golden Globes yesterday, and I was just like, oh, there we go. She's in like a show called The Diplomat. But it was fun seeing Carrie Russell now.
Yeah. I mean, she's so gorgeous as ever. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's everything we're covering. Of course, you could find me at the Jess Sterling, Sarah at Sarah Ferguson. If you want to find us individually, we also have some other podcasting happening if you want to check any of that out. But yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode of Buffy. And then of course, along the way, we're starting out the first few episodes, just us. We kind of like to get our feet underneath us with a new show and kind of see where we feel, you know, where we land on things. I think we'll probably attempt to come up with at least some predictions for next podcast, like in terms of the characters. We usually like to throw those in at the beginning of a show just to see where what ends up coming true. And we'll have some guests joining us along the way. So tons of fun here on the way on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, but we appreciate you checking us out or returning to us for this show as well. But I think that's everything. So until next time, everybody, goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.